do you know about autism? For a long time, it's been thought of as predominantly a male disorder. But researchers are learning more, and earlier this year, a book called Girls and Autism was released. Its author is Professor Barry Carpenter, who was recently appointed to the UK's first professorship in mental health and education at Oxford Brookes University. And we're very lucky that he's here in Adelaide at the moment, presenting to a special conference today called the South Australian Special Education Principals and Leaders Association. But he's also spared some time for us so that we can learn a little bit more about this topic as well. Professor, thank you and welcome to Adelaide.
Hello, nice to talk to you.
Why has it been that up until relatively recently, many people have thought of autism as predominantly a male disorder?
Indeed, indeed. But the new book that's out really reframes that and helps us to think more widely about what is the female presentation of autism.
And so we can't say that females don't have autism, but is it true to say then that they perhaps manifest the signs differently?
Yes. That's absolutely true. You're spot on there. It is that a girl with autism is a girl first and foremost, and we know that the female brain is a more social brain. It's not a joke that women can multitask. Women can actually, their brains actually cross what we call the midline in a way that the male brain just doesn't do that. And so the girl with autism is masking and camouflaging, and therefore we're not picking it up. But they're masking and camouflaging with what are typical traits that they're mimicking from other girls in their classrooms.
So in practical terms, how does that look?
Okay, so if I was the teacher and I, say, cracked a joke in my classroom, the girl with autism, who's probably sitting at the back of the room so that she can scan and keep an eye on everyone else, would quickly scan that every other girl in the room was laughing, and if they were, she would laugh. But if you said to her afterwards, "What was that joke Mr. Carpenter just cracked?" she wouldn't know. She didn't retain the humour because she didn't get it, and it wasn't remembered, therefore.
I'm sure that there are many people who, when they think of autism, think that one of the traits is that that you don't recognise social cues.
Yep.
So isn't that the exact opposite of what you've just described?
Well, remember, I've said that they are mimicking it, so they're not deeply understanding it. They absolutely do not understand the social clues. And what is happening is that because of that, they are trying to be like the other girls and sometimes are putting themselves in risky situations. They won't understand some of the teenage girl banter on Facebook and will get quite offended about it, or will make statements about themselves that responses then do nothing for their self-esteem and self-image. One of the situations that's written about in the book is actually the sexual exploitation of the girls, because often they want boyfriends like their teenage girls have, but they are very prone to being groomed and then finding themselves in quite dangerous situations.
How did we come to this point of recognising that maybe girls manifest this differently?
Because of the number of those women that have been identified, the number of those, they have begun to speak out. And what we've begun to realise, and now we categorically know, is that the diagnostic tools, the assessment processes, have been standardised on boys. I don't need to tell your audience of listeners that men are different. We probably have a very strong evidence base for that statement. Men are different. And therefore, the profile and presentation of autism in girls can at times be quite different to what you would see in boys. But the problem is that they mask, they camouflage for so many years, and then in adolescence, when all that hormonal raging that we all went through begins, they can no longer keep up their pretense, and there's an erosion in their mental health state. Very sadly, lots of the girls begin to self-harm or have anorexia, depression, anxiety, extreme anxiety. And it is when those issues are picked up that the skilled clinician will actually look underneath the surface of that and realise that, in fact, the underlying issue is undiagnosed autism.
So are those behaviours a direct result of the masking or just additional issues that they have as a result of their autism?
They are a result of the masking because the masking has been like trying to be an actor 24 hours a day. And that's an exhausting process. They cannot keep that level of pretend up. And therefore, the mental health, the energy it takes to keep up that mask is just too much.
That comes at a cost.
It comes at a very high cost. And we know from the literature and from evidence from clinicians that self-harm is one step away from suicide. And suicidal ideation is very much in the profile of the teenage girl with autism.
This is the voice of Professor Barry Carpenter. He's in Adelaide at the moment presenting this new information that researchers have come to realise and that is encased in the book that he released earlier this year on autism and girls, that autism, which up till now has largely been thought of as a male disorder, we're now seeing that girls have it too, and this has been confirmed, and they simply present in different ways. Professor Barry Carpenter, when it comes to how we deal with this now or how it's treated, is this being accepted or is this a relatively new thought?
The book has blown apart the myth that we had one girl to four boys. We don't. The more accurate figure from the meta-analysis we've conducted is that we probably have, it's probably one girl to two boys. I presented this information now in London where the book was launched and it sold out on its first day there. I presented in Ireland, in Oslo, in Barcelona. Now here in Australia, I was in New Zealand at the weekend presenting this. And everywhere I go, people are saying, yes, we've been missing this. This is the information that we needed. At the conference here in Adelaide, it's been just wonderful because we have parents and grandparents and carers here, as well as teachers from all types of schools, special high schools, primary schools. We've had the state director from special education here as well. So the message, what I call the many voices, have really been heard in your state.
Well, given that we're talking about autism in schools in particular with that group of and that cohort, is there anything that educators, that schools, that our state government here in South Australia could be doing to support girls with autism?
Yes. I think there's some very simple things we can do. I would actually recommend that the girls and autism, say, in a high school, actually have some gender-specific activity. That could actually just be a lunch club once a week where those girls or girls who identify with autism come together and are just allowed to talk about their interests. And their special interests may be at times quite different from what the teenage girl would present. For example, they may have an interest in pop bands, but when you pursue that and think, oh, that's a very typical teenage girl thing to do, when you pursue that, you realise actually it's become obsessional. The level of collecting of images of the boy band is actually way beyond what you'd normally expect. Or they might have some special interests such as electricity pylons. Where does the conversation begin there?
Well, yes, I'm not sure I'd know where to start on that front. But are you saying then that even though they would have different interests, that within a group like that, just talking about a passion would have benefit?
It would have inherent benefit to their emotional well-being. And then I think there are simple adaptations as well that they may find the what we call sensory overload. You know, classrooms and schools are busy places, aren't they? There's lights, there's colours, there's moving bodies all the time. And sometimes that's difficult sensorially for the girl with autism to process. So the school might want to have a simple system of when the girl has been working in the classroom for 30, 40 minutes, she might be allowed 5 minutes out, so that she begins to self-regulate and then brings her back after that 5 minutes. And I've been a principal 3 times myself. I've used some of those techniques. And these girls and generally children with autism are black and white thinkers, and if you say 5 minutes, they'll take 5 minutes and then come back and re-engage in learning.
Professor, for in my experience, it seems that autism is experienced differently depending on how many people you speak to with autism.
Mm.
So how does an educator know the right way to support each individual, whether they be girls or boys?
Yeah, I mean you're right, and I think, you know, the public has this impression that autism is about the Rain Man or Sheldon in the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Rarely do we have a populist image of a female with autism. I mean, you have in Australia a very famous person, Wen Lawson, who for many years was Wendy Lawson, now a trans guy, and his writings have given great insight into this. But I think there are modifications that schools can begin to make that will accommodate these needs. And you're right about it being almost a different presentation in everybody with autism that you meet. But you know, with the approach in schools now, very much with the Australian National Curriculum, the principle is about differentiation. But I would go one step further and say we need this process of personalisation, which actually is about wrapping the learning experiences around the child to deeply engage them in that learning. And I've talked about those processes and given some practical examples here this morning in the conference.
Professor, it's obviously an area that we need to find out more about, and we thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Professor Barry Carpenter, he's here in Adelaide speaking with the South Australian Special Education Principals and Leaders Association. He's the author of the book released this year called Girls and Autism.